Random House Audio presents Trapped Under the Sea, One Engineering Marvel, Five Men, and a Disaster 10 Miles Into the Darkness by Neil Swidey. Read for you by David H. Lawrence, the 17th. Wouldst thou, so the helmsman answered, learn the secret of the sea? Only those who brave its dangers comprehend its mystery. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, The Secret of the Sea. The work an unknown good man has done is like a vein of water flowing hidden underground, secretly making the ground green. Thomas Carlyle. Prologue. July 21st, 1999. He was about to begin a miles-long trek into the dank, dark intestines of the earth. But DJ Gillis wouldn't go until he'd found a piece of twine. Two of the other divers had already packed themselves into the man cage, a tubular basket of yellow metal that would be lowered by crane down a 420-foot shaft. But they couldn't go without DJ, and he wasn't about to be hurried. "Come on, DJ," one of the guys shouted. "Let's go." DJ ignored the calls as he searched an equipment trailer, sifting through piles of rain gear and crates of tools. The summer sun was beginning its climb above Deer Island, a peninsula that hangs down from the north, like a comma into Boston Harbor, curling in front of Logan International Airport. DJ's boss, a hard-charging guy by the name of Tap Taylor, was standing near the man cage and losing his patience. "Let's go," Tap yelled. The two of them had a close, if combustible, relationship. Tap's singular focus was building his small New Hampshire commercial diving business into something bigger, and he thought nothing of logging 14-hour shifts every day of the week. Still, he had a soft spot for DJ, treating the breezy 29-year-old more like a kid brother than an employee. Over the years, they had developed a rhythm as predictable as the banter between an anchorwoman and weatherman on the eve of a big storm. DJ, a 6'2", solidly built charmer, would show up late to the job site, occasionally dropped off by some blonde or brunette he'd been partying with the night before. As DJ peeled off yesterday's clothes and put on his dive gear, Tap would curse, threatening to kick him off the job. But those outbursts always ended the same way. Before long, Tap would calm down and begin pumping DJ for details from his latest adventure, hopping bars and hopping beds. "Come on," Tap shouted again. "If you're in that much of a hurry," DJ barked, "then go without me." It was the morning of July 21st, 1999, a Wednesday, and the tension was thick, mainly because so many problems had surfaced on the project that Monday and Tuesday. Getting down the 30-foot-wide shaft would be the easy part. The challenge would come when the divers had to make their way to the end of a pitch-black tunnel that began at the base of the shaft and kept going and going under the sea for nearly 10 miles. Tap would be monitoring the divers' progress from topside on Deer Island. He was in no mood for DJ's usual antics. In reality, neither was DJ. The only woman he had on his mind right now was the Virgin Mary. He needed the piece of twine to tie a small religious medal to the underside of his hard hat. The oval medal had once belonged to his grandfather, a carpenter who helped build the Prudential Tower that defined Boston's skyline. DJ had asked his mother for it the night before, remembering the story of how his grandfather had kept the miraculous medal in his pocket the whole time he spent erecting that skyscraper, taking comfort in the Blessed Virgin's protection. Seeking comfort himself, DJ had gingerly asked his mom, "Is that still around?" "Yes," she had replied cautiously. "Why?" "I'm a little concerned about the job." As much as he had tried to downplay his growing uneasiness with the tunnel project, DJ hadn't been surprised to see fear flash across his mother's face. He had just broken one of the cardinal rules he'd learned early on in his career as a commercial diver, when he'd seen oil rigs capsize and cranes collapse. Never tell your family the truth about the dangers of the job. It isn't fair to dump that kind of worry on them. But this wasn't like any job DJ had worked on before. Hell, it wasn't like any job anyone had worked on before. And that challenge, to make history in his field, to do the seemingly undoable, was what had sold DJ on the tunnel assignment in the first place. With everything that had gone down in the last few days, though, he was feeling some buyer's remorse. Finally, he found the twine, fastened the Virgin Mary, and put on his hard hat as he strode over to the man cage. Tap was still heated. "What the hell were you doing?" he snapped. "We've got a job to do here." DJ took off his hat and turned it over so his boss could see the metal dangling from it. "I'm taking care of myself," he said. Tap's steam instantly lifted. "It's getting that bad, huh?" The man cage spun slowly as it moved down the shaft, like a gentle whirlpool of water circling around a drain. DJ was a talker, but now he felt no urge to speak. He stared across the cage at the other two divers, guys he'd known for only a couple of weeks. He had an especially tough time getting a bead on the shorter of the two, Dave Riggs. While divers tended to be a rowdy bunch, pounding beers and swapping stories after their shift, Riggs didn't drink and kept to himself. During one of their first days working together, DJ had been doing what he always did, telling lots of tales, peppered with colorful words, when Riggs turned to him and said, "I'd appreciate it if you didn't use foul language within my earshot." DJ narrowed his eyes as he stared back at Riggs in disbelief. Then he said the first thing that came into his head. "Are you fucking kidding me?" He'd been a diver for 7 years, and he'd never once come across anyone who confused a job site with a church pew. He had a better connection with the other guy in the cage, Donald Hosford, known as Hoss to everyone except his mother. Hoss had a ropey 6'5" build and the rugged looks of someone who might appear in a magazine ad for the Copenhagen chew he always kept wadded under his lip. He was only 24 years old, but he worked with the confidence and sure movements of a seasoned veteran. To DJ, Haas embodied the cowboy spirit of the experienced divers he'd always looked up to. Take charge guys who could be rough and even crude on the job, but who always addressed a lady as ma'am and reflexively pulled out a chair for her. Still, DJ thought to himself, the guy seems so steely that, if need be, he could put a bullet in another man's forehead and then go right back to eating his supper. As the man cage neared the bottom, DJ fixed his eyes on a fat ventilation duct that transported air from Deer Island, down the shaft, and into the tunnel. For years, a bag line had run all 9.5 miles of the tunnel, providing plenty of ambient air to the subterranean workers known as sand hogs, who were responsible for burrowing down under. Now, the duct ended right where the shaft did, at the very start of the tunnel. DJ had heard that the sand hogs had spent nearly a decade mining the tunnel.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?